From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. 100-year-old woman recovers from COVID-19 in Surabaya. Repatriating 4,800 undocumented Indonesians in Malaysia on June 6 onwards. Now the news in details. A 100-year-old woman in Surabaya, East Java, has recovered from COVID-19 after spending a month in the hospital. The woman, identified as Kamtin, is the country's oldest COVID-19 patient. She came down with a fever and cough on April 13 before being admitted to the Port Health Center Hospital in Surabaya on April 20 and undergoing a swab test a day later. On April 28, doctors told her she had tested positive for COVID-19. She was allowed to return home on May 17 after doctor declared her free of the disease. East Java Governor Kofifah Indar Parawansa said on Friday that she recovered because she was disciplined in maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Kamtin's family members have self-isolated after having had direct contact with her. The health ministry had recorded a total of 25,773 COVID-19 confirmed cases nationwide as of Saturday, with 1,573 deaths and 7,015 recoveries. East Java has been one of the hardest hit regions across the archipelago, with 4,613 confirmed cases. The Malaysian government has hinted at the release of 4,800 undocumented Indonesian migrant workers from the country's immigration detention houses to then be repatriated to Indonesia starting June 6. The Malaysian Immigration and Foreign Ministry officials had discussed this repatriation-related plan with their counterparts from the Indonesian Embassy on May 28. Malaysian Defense Minister Sabri Yaakob stated in Putrajaya on Saturday, escorted by Antara. Prior to their repatriations, all Indonesians currently housed at several detention houses would be examined using the rapid test kit antigen method to check for the presence of the coronavirus. Officials at the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur were invited to observe the rapid test kit antigens-related events, Yaakob remarked. The Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur will provide the requisite documents for repatriations to Indonesians who had yet to possess legal travel documents. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The full Minnesota National Guard was activated for the first time since World War II, after 4 nights of civil unrest that has spread to other U.S. cities following the death of a black man shown on video gasping for breath as a white Minneapolis policeman knelt on his neck. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said the deployment was necessary because outside agitators were using protests over the death of George Floyd to show chaos, and that he expected Saturday night's demonstration to be the fiercest so far. From Minneapolis to several other major cities, including New York, Atlanta, and Washington, protesters clashed with police late on Friday. In a rising tide of anger over the treatment of minorities by law enforcement, Governor Walz said he believed a tightly controlled group of outsiders, including white supremacists and drug cartel members, were instigating some of the violence in Minnesota's largest city, but he did not give specific evidence of this when asked by reporters. A roadside bomb killed a television journalist in Kabul on Saturday, soon after top Afghan officials appointed to lead peace talks with Taliban said his team was ready for the long-delayed dialogue. The blast, which targeted a minibus carrying 15 employees of private television channel Khurshid TV, was claimed by the Islamic State group, according to site intelligence which monitors jihadist activities. The attack, which the government called heinous, claimed the lives of a reporter and a driver and punctuated an overall reduction in violence that has followed on from a three-day ceasefire the Taliban instigated May 23rd. Just hours before the blast, Afghanistan's former chief executive Abdullah Abdullah, who has been appointed to head talks with the Taliban, said his team was positioned to start the dialogue. Abdullah credited the general lull in violence for setting the tone for discussion. SpaceX, the private rocket company of billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk, launched two American towers orbit from Florida on Saturday in a mission that marks the first space flight of NASA astronauts from U.S. soil in 9 years. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from the Kennedy Space Center at 3:22 p.m. local time, launching Doug Hurley and Bob Behnkend. On a 19-hour ride aboard the company's newly designed Crew Dragon capsule bound for the International Space Station. Crew Dragon separated from its second stage boosters at 3:35 and minutes later entered the orbit. The craft's launched from the same pad used by NASA's final space shuttle flights piloted by Hurley in 2011. Since then, NASA astronauts have had to hitch rides into orbit aboard Russia's Soyuz spacecraft. Formula One, translated coronavirus heat season, will finally get underway with the Austrian Grand Prix on July 5th, the Austrian government announced on Saturday. The Spielberg circuit has also been given the green light to stage a second race the following weekend. Austrian's Health Minister Rudolf Anschober announced that the two Formula One races on July 5th and 12th at Spielberg will be staged without spectators. He said that the two races had been approved after F1 organizers had presented a complete and professional plan to combat the spread of COVID-19. The F1 season was thrown into chaos with the cancellation of the traditional curtain racing Australian Grand Prix in March, only hours before practice was due to begin. Melbourne was one of the 10 races either cancelled or postponed, yet F1 boss Chase Carey believes a 15-18 race season is still possible. The 2020 F1 season was to have featured a record 22 races. Now it is set to be one of the shortest campaigns for over a decade. Microsoft is to replace dozens of contract journalists on its MSN website and use automated system to select news stories, US and UK media report. The curating of stories from news organization and selection of headlines and pictures for the MSN site is currently done by journalists. Artificial intelligence will perform these news production tasks, sources told the Seattle Times. Microsoft said it was part of an evaluation of its business. Microsoft, like some other tech companies, pays news organization to use their content on its website, but it employs journalists to decide which stories to display and how they are presented. Around 50 contract news producers will lose their jobs at the end of June, but a team of full-time journalists will remain. Some SAC journalists warn that artificial intelligence may not be fully familiar with strict editorial guidelines and could end up letting through inappropriate stories. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This week's spotlight is on President Asks for coordination regarding new normal order. President Joko Widodo assigned the task force for the acceleration of COVID-19 handling to coordinate and communicate with all governments both at the provincial, district, and city levels regarding the new normal order. Head of the National Disaster Management Agency, Donny Monardo, as chair of the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, revealed it after attending a limited meeting with the President on Wednesday, May 27th. Donny Monardo said easing or providing opportunities to regions to gradually open certain sectors was largely determined by developments in the area. The president asked all his staff to study conditions in the field to prepare a new normal order in the midst of the new coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19. He asked the protocol to adapt to the new normal order prepared by the Ministry of Health to be disseminated massively to the public. According to the president, the community must be productive but still safe from COVID-19. Therefore, various steps and efforts have been carried out in the last few months, especially since March 13, 2020, when the activities to overcome COVID-19 began. The president said that previously there were 4 provinces and 25 regencies and cities that were preparing to go to the new normal. The region is known to have a low corona transmission rate. Donny Monardo explained the president had assigned the military and police to help assist the community in the 4 provinces and 25 cities through communicative approaches. This means that the presence of the military and police in public places is not to cause concern nor fear, but merely to help the community. It is hoped that they will be disciplined and truly obedient to the health protocol. Meanwhile, regarding the flow of people returning to the cities after the holiday, President Joko Widodo asked all his staff to control the eat-back flow, especially for those who had returned to their villages to prevent the second wave of COVID-19 transmission from circulating. The president in the meeting conveyed that controlling backflow must primarily be carried out for those who want to return to Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Bekasi, and Tangerang. Moreover, Jakarta along with West Java and Tangerang are areas that are prepared in the application of the new normal order so that people can be productive again but still safe. And listener, that was Spotlight of the Week.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with May 31st, 1910, the South African Union was formed. The South African Union is the predecessor of the present Republic of South Africa. It existed from 1910 to 1961 and was formed by the merger of Transvaal, Cape Christmas, and Orange River colonies. The rulers of the United Kingdom act as heads of state until May 31, 1961, when the country announced a change from a member of the Commonwealth to a republic. Turning to May 31st, 1987, World No Tobacco Day was initiated worldwide every year on May 31st. This movement calls on smokers not to smoke for 24 hours simultaneously throughout the world. Today, it aims to draw the world's attention regarding the widespread smoking habit and its adverse effects on health. World Health Organization WHO member countries sparked the World No Tobacco Day in 1987. In the past decade, this movement has drawn reactions from the government, health activists, and public health organizations, and opposition from smokers, tobacco farmers, and the cigarette industry. I'll end with May 31st, 2017, the Kabul bomb attack. On May 31st, 2017, a car bomb exploded at a busy intersection in Kabul close to the German embassy office at around 8:25 local time. The attack was carried out during rush hour, killing more than 90 people and injuring 400 others, mostly civilians, and destroying several buildings in the embassy. Although no party has claimed responsibility, the Taliban have become suspects, but they have evaded involvement in the incident and even condemned the attack. And listener, that was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Jayanta Chakrabarti in India. He told that our broadcast was excellent when he was monitoring through our website voinews.id on May 23, 2020. Hello, Mr. Jayanta Chakrabarti. Thank you for your compliment. Hopefully, you have a great day. Special for you, we'll play a beautiful song. Keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and send your next reception report. Enjoy the song.
selamanya.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today in Tarling. Ministry of Youth and Sport starts to prepare protocols to face new normal. The Ministries of Youth and Sport has begun to prepare protocols for national sport activities in the face of new normal times in the midst of a pandemic. Based on preliminary government studies related to the implementation of the new normal order, outdoor sports activities will be entered into phase 3, which began on June 15. But the Ministry of Youth and Sport is still waiting for permission from the task force for the acceleration of COVID-19 handling related to certainty when the competition can be started again. Ministry of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali revealed it during a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday. The minister said, if it permits is given, the Ministry of Youth and Sport will prepare more specific strict protocols related to technical implementation, such as rules without spectators and restrictions on the number of participants. The protocols are made aiming that sports activities that had stopped could start again while adjusting to the new normal period. In addition to the competition guidelines, the protocol also includes the preparation of national training for each sport in the face of various dance multi-event championship next year. According to Minister Zainuddin Amali, all must have clear guidelines on every sport activities. A number of sports such as badminton, weightlifting and shooting are still undergoing national training activities in the midst of a pandemic while still implementing the recommended health protocols. While some sports do not want to take risks by keep holding national training, they choose to practice virtually while being monitored by the coach. Meanwhile, the Indonesian National Olympic Committee (NOC) will seek input from the parent sports organization related to the new normal, especially in the terms of the athletes' training system in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Chairman of the Indonesian NOC, Raja Sabta Oktohari, said, "New normal is a new lifestyle for behavioral changes to keep running normal activities but still implementing health protocols to prevent transmission of COVID-19, which is still happening today." According to him, the discussion on new normal must indeed be carried out immediately so there is a clear protocols on the training of athletes. Moreover, this must also involve many parties, including the government, in this case, the Minister of Youth and Sport, to the task force for the acceleration of COVID-19 handling. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Enrique Briapere. Hello, Mr. Enrique Briapere. Thank you for your offering. We'll discuss it with our management. And your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. Thank you. Special for you, here is another beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
apa adanya.
RRI was office voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. This edition will take you to Malang, East Java province to visit an ecosystem preserve tourist spot called Tiga Warna Beach. Malang has a beautiful beach which is not inferior to more popular beaches in Bali called Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach. It is located in Sendang Biru Village, Sitiarjo District, South Malang. Tiga Warna Beach is included in the Tlungup Mangrove Conservation Area, so it is ecosystem preserved. Before visiting the Three Color Beach, visitors must first contact the beach manager to place an order. As a conservation effort in the area, the number of visitors to Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach is limited to only 100 people every day. Booking can be made at least 2 weeks before the time of the visit. The maximum number in a group is also limited to only 10 people. So if, for example, you visit the beach with family or friends and there are more than 10 people, then you have to order more than one slot. Reservations can be made from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. To visit Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach, you must be accompanied by a local guide who is also a conservation officer. During each visit to Tiga Warna Beach, you are only allowed to play around and enjoy its beauty for just 2 hours. After that, you have to leave. That is one of the functions of the guide, which is to remind every visitor not to linger on Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach. It sounds very strict, but this is all for the sake of protecting the ecosystem on Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach. Tiga Warna or Three Color Beach has an attractive underwater panorama of coral reefs and beautiful small fish.
If you love snorkeling, this place is a paradise. But first, you are required to wear life jackets so you can float on the water without damaging the coral reef. In addition, there is a rule, what is brought into tiga warna or three color pitch must be brought back, including little trash of snacks packages, because all items will be registered in detail by the clerk, so you should bring a plastic bag to put your rubbish. If you break this rule, then be prepared to accept the consequences. Usually, you are asked to return to the pitch to collect your trash or be fined. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring the exotic tiga warna or three color beach in Malang, East Java. If you are in East Java, make time to visit this fantastic ecosystem preserve beach. And here is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, I've received so many greetings from our listeners all over the world through voinews.id until now, which cannot be mentioned one by one. We are really sorry, but thank you for your kindness. As appreciation for our regular listeners, whatever you are, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Lagu cinta biasa, hanya denting nada yang memanjakan senyumanmu. Ingin ku cerita semua rahasia yang hanya Tuhan dan kamu yang tahu. Kau buatku lemah tak berdaya. Ha, 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 ha. Oh. Kau membebaskanku dan ha, 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 ha. Bersamamu aku tahu kau suka padaku. Kau memeluk aku, terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Oh, oh. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Semua ini memang tidak biasa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apa yang ku rasa padamu memang istimewa. Selidiki aku apa adanya. Ayo kita bongkar mujizat dunia. Kau membuat hati terkila-kila. Hatiku tergila-gila. Aku tahu kau suka apa aku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Ku tertawa dan bersamamu. Kau membebaskanku dan bersamamu. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. This edition will be discussing medical personal protection equipment or PPE made in Indonesia past WHO standard. Stay tuned. Medical personnel who treat coronavirus or COVID-19 positive patients are required to wear medical personal protection equipment or PPE. Now the PPE made in Indonesia has passed the World Health Organization or WHO standards. On May 27, 2020, PT. Sritex Medical Personal Protection Equipment or PPE officially met the international standards set by WHO. The chair of the COVID-19 Handling Acceleration Task Force, Doni Monardo, welcomed the news. In a press statement received by Tempo.co on May 28, 2020, Doni Monardo said he was happy to hear from the Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in New York, Arifi Saiman, about this Indonesian-made PPE. That the results of the PT Sritex Coverall PPE lab test fabric sample for ISO 16604 Class 3 certification at Intertech HQ, Cortland, New York, were declared to pass or pass the lab test. With the predicate of passing ISO 16604 Class 3 lab certification test, PPE product of PT Sritex has been declared to have resistance to bacteriophage penetration with a very small size. The level of quality is higher than the quality level of ISO 16604 Class 2 certification, which is a minimum requirement of international standard PPE set by WHO. At present, several other Indonesian companies are also applying for product lab testing. Arifi hopes that other products can also pass and get ISO 16604 Class 3 certificate. Meanwhile, President Director of PT Sritex Iwan Lukminto said that his company is working specifically to obtain raw material formulas that can meet WHO standards. According to him, the PPE product development team that he led worked hard for at least 1 month in order to get this ISO 16604 Class 3. Iwan said Sritex has been able to make products with high standards. One that has been produced by Sritex is Nubica Clothing, or CBRN, or stands for Chemical Biological Radiation. Since January 2020, Sritex makes PPE starting from Class 1, Class 2, and finally Class 3. With ISO 16604 Class 3, Sritex is able to produce PPE Class 1 up to 500,000 pieces each month. According to Iwan, it is hoped that there will be no scarcity of PPE for health workers in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you next time.
Duniaku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present to you a song by Kunto Aji. Kunto Aji began his music career as a singer through a talent show in one of the national private television in 2008. Since then, he began to a household name in music scene Indonesia. Although he had been in sabbatical for quite some time, his works are now are flourishing and keep going. Recently, the singer who in the pop jazz genre has released a video clip which is the collaboration works between the team of Nanti Kita Cerita Tentang Hari Ini or NKCTHI and himself. This is a collective video project so that this video can amplify what is in the lyrics of the song Rehat while giving something related to the people who listen to this song. NKTCHI was chosen to collaborate because in the song Rehat, Kunto Aji collaborated with Marcella FP, author of the book NKCTHI, for several lines of lyrics. The song Rehat is about self-awareness that we have the most trustworthy person who is always supportive, namely ourselves. Well, listener, here is Kunto Aji with the song Rehat.
Takutkan takkan terjadi.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Cinta ku hanya kagumi, hanya Indonesia.
Di sini, di dalam dadaku, ada
getarmu. Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adala. See you on the next English program.